Welcome back to some boys. My name is Positive C. DWB is over there in front of me. Jim the Brain Box is to my right.
Whoop.
We have Violator producing over there to my left.
Hey, hey.
And somewhere around here in the annals and the cloud that surrounds us is Mr. E somewhere here and about. Maybe he'll pop in, maybe he won't. What will pop in our heads is a question today. Who's going to introduce it first? DWB.
Oh, questions, questions, questions. So many questions. And we've all got questions. And my question is, I was asked this this past weekend what I'm afraid of. And I honestly couldn't find a great answer.
Holy crap.
So how about you guys? What are you afraid of?
I'm afraid of failing people that I say when I tell people I'm going to succeed. And that's why I don't tell people I'm going to succeed often. I don't tell people I'm going to do something and be successful at it often because I'm afraid of not holding up that candle. I'm not really afraid of physical things. Maybe yeah. Spiders a little bit and stuff like that, yeah. But I'm afraid of telling somebody I'm going to do it and not being able to do it. That's a big
right.
fear of mine. I like to be able to hold up my end of the bargain whenever I vocally or even writtenly say I'm going to do something.
Right on. Yep.
You know, man, this is a great question. Back when I was on vacation in Athens, they had this museum, and I didn't realize this was a fear for me until I was there. They have glass floors.
Yeah.
And every time I'd walk across one, I would just freeze because I thought, if this thing breaks, I am plummeting to my death. So I can't realize having no conceivable structural ground below me freaks me out.
All right.
Yeah.
So good you fear. Like knowing something's under
yeah,
your feet.
If something's solid below me, I'm fine.
All right.
No, anything else? Nope.
So you wouldn't dangle?
No.
All right.
No.
Lieutenant dangle.
I'm with Chris. I'm afraid of failure. I don't like knowing that I'm not going to be able to succeed at something. And it frustrates me whenever I know it's not going to work. And it just haunts me.
Right on.
And I just don't like it.
Master E, what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of snakes?
I'm not afraid of snakes.
No.
I've been forced to go and catch snakes for random people. I'm going to agree with those two.
So we're all just afraid of failure here.
I think so.
I'm afraid of failure, but failure is what drives me and gives me my success. And I think both of y'all are great at what y'all do because y'all fear that y'all aren't going to be able to accomplish it.
All right. So there's my question.
Question today, I'll go next, my friends. Guys, what is proper elevator etiquette? Okay, let's say you are in the elevator, all right, and someone's maybe 15 to 20 feet away from the elevator. They don't really know that. You don't really know whether or not they're coming in or going towards the elevator or not. They're just walking that way. How long do you hold the door open? How long do you wait there? Let's say you're outside of the elevator. Do you wait for the other people to come out of the elevator before you walk in?
Yes.
What is proper elevator etiquette? Because I live at a motel right now where I have to exit and enter an elevator all the time. And I swear nobody knows elevator etiquette. So I'm wondering if it's not a commonplace thing.
The only elevator etiquette I know of is don't fart in it.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Man, I have to use the elevator all the time over at BMW. And, I think it's just it's a free for all, man. When I get in the elevator, yeah, I'll let them out first, but I'm not waiting for anybody, man. I'm getting in that elevator and I'm hitting close. If you ain't here and you aren't putting your arm through, I am sorry. So close. If someone's in the elevator with me, I'm not talking to you. We're going where we're going. We don't need this mindless chatter. Let's just get there. That's my etiquette.
You know, I think it's all based off of just your moral structure, too. You know, if you're the kind of person that holds doors open for people, you know, you'll be like, oh, you see someone coming, you'll be like, nope, hold. At the same time, though, you know, if someone's like way back there, they're like, whoa, hold the elevator. No.
Yeah.
Close the door. Bye. I'm out of here. Yeah. And if someone's riding with you and you got to be bust a silent but deadly, you go ahead and bust a silent but deadly. And then you turn around and you look at them and go, what the hell, bro?
Yeah. Well, yeah, ask them why they farted.
Right? Why'd you fart, man? This is a small coffin.
That's a good question.
All right. I guess I'm up next. My question of the day is, if you had to lose one of your five main senses, which one would you pick?
Smell.
Holy crap.
Smell?
I'd lose smell.
Okay.
You can't lose touch. I don't know. You know, you. That's not something you can just. Oh, what did you lose? Oh,
you're dead.
You can't just automatically become blind. You know, you can, but you can't just automatically. Oh, I can't touch things. God, no, I wouldn't do sight. I wouldn't do sound. That would kill
music.
I want to
taste what I taste.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely not giving that up. I'm with you on smell.
But don't smell and taste go hand in hand a little
yes.
bit?
Yes, we do.
So I don't care. I don't get off on eating like everyone else does. Like there's a lot of people that, man, that eating is a hobby and I want this and then I can have. I don't care, man. If food was compacted into a pill that I had to take once a day, that would be awesome.
I'd prefer it.
I'm not. I don't know. I'm not the food guy.
But I mean, think about touch. Is like, what if instead of losing the sense of touch, it was just like feeling all the like, so like you couldn't feel pain. Like, wouldn't that be kind of cool?
Like Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of like pain.
Okay. Well, then never.
Well, that would also mean you couldn't feel sex either.
Yeah. That
Damn
would
it.
Suck.
So I would pick.
Go ahead.
I wouldn't want to taste things because at least that would leave my very sensitive palate to be able to eat almost anything.
There you go.
Man, I wish I could taste
I'm a picky
again.
Eater, and I would prefer not to be.
And you could eat super healthy and not have to worry about it tasting like ass.
True.
That's a good
point. All the cabbage I want.
I think I would... Man, five senses of that. Hey, guys, if you go to zboysradio.blogspot.com, you can see Positive C, which is me, my blog on the five, maybe four senses of empathy. So if I was going to lose one of my senses, it would totally be smell, because I don't need smell really in my everyday life, and I definitely don't need it through empathy, and you will know that if you go to zboysradio.blogspot.com.
I'm going with smell also. I mean, as a ex-smoker, man, it's one of those things that you lose your sense of smell through that anyway, so I don't think I'd be missing much.
Double up on that, Jim, your question of the day.
My question of the day, and this is going to be a big one, guys.
Uh-huh.
How would you change the world?
Wow. Wow. Like the entire world.
Yep.
You know how I would change, what I would do to change the world? Oh, Violator. No, go ahead. Go ahead. You got your hands up.
I'd create Zvoice or help create Zvoice.
Simple answer, but a good one.
Done it. What you got there, Chris?
You know what? I would reverse things. I would reverse things for maybe a week. Have men have the same things that women have to go through.
Oh.
Have kids have the same thing adults have to go through. Have blacks the same things minority, or have the majority the same thing minority, and vice versa. And let everyone just be in someone else's shoes for a week. And I guarantee if someone had to be what the other person that they may hate or don't understand, let the straight have to be gay. Let everything else switch over.
Oh, that'd be weird.
It would be. But you would start to understand things.
I'd be walking around and be like, oh man, I like... No!
Yeah! you know what you would do? You would start to feel the alienation that they feel. And or maybe if you were a kid, you would start to understand the pressures that your parents have. If you're a man, you'd start to understand the segregation that is men and women and the stuff that they have to go through. Like, wearing someone else's shoes can be a literal thing. It can be a metaphorical thing. I would change the world to have it make it a pure literal thing.
Well, I think I would change the world in the fact that I would make more beaches.
Okay.
There just needs to be more beaches in life. You know what I mean? I can't find a beach. That's where I always want to be.
There needs to be a beach in Dallas-Fort Worth.
That's right. Like a real one with ocean and stuff.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Yeah. Not just opening your Corona bottles on the balcony.
Right. Yeah. Or, you know, Lake, you know, Joe Pool.
Yeah.
I'm out.
You know,
maybe Granberry.
I think my go-to would be I would solve world hunger.
All right.
I think I would.
Man, I'm an asshole.
Try to find a way to just kick that problem out and let people stop fighting over that.
Yeah.
If y'all are assholes, I'm really the asshole.
Yeah.
All right. That is the question. You know what? That is the question of the day. We will solve this a little bit later, but right now we have to solve another issue, and that issue is what to do with me.
What are we going to do with you, man?
We're going to spin me right round, baby, right round. It's time for the positive spin with Positive C! And we're going to start a little bit differently. Because normally I start, you know, really excitable. I start with a ball of energy when it comes to the positive spin. But this music won't allow me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And this subject matter won't allow me to do this. Oh, yay! Oh, wait. Yes, it will. Because we're talking about Jurassic World. And we're talking about the fact that the movie made a whole bunch of money. It made $511 million over the weekend, which broke Age of Ultron's record. But there's a reason behind this. It's not because the movie's great. It's not because it's just phenomenon that is gonna, you know, ravage the globe and everyone's gonna be talking about this movie for years to come. No. It's because there's not been another movie released since the Age of Ultron that's been worth a damn. Listen to the movies.
That one wasn't worth it either.
Listen to the movies that have been released in between Age of Ultron, which was the record setter, and Jurassic World. You have San Andreas. You know that movie with The Rock about earthquakes?
Yeah,
you have that. You have Tomorrowland, George Clooney being Disney's puppet. You have Hot Pursuit. I think that had Sandra Bullock and the fat chick. I think that was... fat chick who's funny. Poltergeist. Melissa McCarthy.
That was a whole different movie like last year.
There was another one called Hot Pursuit that was terrible. Poltergeist. A remake of a horror movie in the 80s that is definitely not as good as the 80s horror movie.
And it's October.
The only one that came...
Mad Max?
Was Mad Max. That's the only one that came even close to being a movie worth seeing. Okay, you have that. You have plus that their movie tickets are now $10 a pop like they weren't before. That's how you get a $511 million summer movie. There hasn't been a summer movie this year besides Age of Ultron that has been that big ticket, that big tent movie that everyone wants to see. You know what's going to happen? When Ant-Man comes out in I think a week or two, that movie is going to be an explosion. It may not make $511 million, but because of the fact that ticket prices are raised, and this summer has been a very weak summer when it comes to big, just every movie every week is going to be big and huge. No, it hasn't. It hasn't been like that. So you get three movies during a year with all the inflation of prices. Of course it's going to be a freaking phenomenon. Doesn't mean the movie's any good. And I'm tired of everyone judging movies about how much money they make.
Talking about the inflation of ticket prices, what's the... they've got it at 10 now and they've realized, hey, they'll still keep coming for 10. What do you think is the most that you would spend, the cap of where... the line that you draw, say, I'm not going to spend that. I'm not going to go to the movies at that.
$12.
12?
If I have to spend 12, if I have to spend half of $25, basically, to go even get in the movie, not counting popcorn or the date before, if I'm having to spend that much just on the freaking movie, I'm not going.
Right.
Screw it.
Let you guys on a little secret here. Monday nights, go hit up Mariano's for half-price margaritas.
Okay.
Then roll over to the Six Flags Mall and get yourself a little $5 to $6 movie ticket.
Yeah.
Don't get shot because you're drunk from the half-price deals, which makes you an easy victim.
Oh yeah.
In Grand Prairie.
But at that point, you don't care either. You're like, oh, it smells funny and everything's sticky, but I don't really. It's all good.
If you go before 6 o'clock, it's $3.25 a movie ticket.
Wow.
It's worth
it. Ooh, nice.
Next on the spin, guys, we're going to talk about writing, because the writing bug has jumped back and bit me again, guys. And I think I've talked about this a couple different times, about writing and how I fall in and out of love with it. But the fact that we have our blog section up now, that's boysradio.blogspot.com, it's really invigorated me to start writing again, because I've written two blogs, and I've kind of got ideas for more, and it gives me a mental deadline to have to do something with it. That's why, you know, writing when it comes to the script here for the boys helps me with a deadline. Writing for the blog now helps me with a deadline. When I did Cosign, it helped me with a deadline. And get this, guys, I have a buddy out in California. His name is Tony Noto. He does, I'm gonna plug this right now. He does a internet kind of acting thing called Classic Alice. Go check this out. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. Well, I've talked to him a little bit and we're in pre-discussions of, let's say we get a script together, guys. He's got a crew there that might be able to put this thing together. So I'm calling out the boys' community members. I'm calling out our the boys' officials ourselves. Let's work on something, guys. Let's build the script, send it to these guys, see what can happen, and maybe the boys can even move on to other pop culture statuses that we never even thought it could have been. Maybe the Roman gods of California can literally be a real thing. Right now,
there it is.
You know what's a real thing also?
What is a real thing?
People I meet. celebrities come to my job. I work at Sprout Spring Rolls and Pho, yeah, a future sponsor of the boys. Oh. And we've gotten a lot of local celebrity type people coming to Sprouts to eat fabulous fresh meals.
Angel Spit?
A little bit of Angel Spit. Guess who I met, guys? I met Joey Gallo.
What?
No, not him. I met his parents.
Okay.
But his parents decided that, hey, I'm cool enough that they're going to give me an autograph something at some point in
time.
Awesome. I've also met Thad Levine. I've met Yoshinori Tatiyama. Thad Levine is the assistant general manager of the Texas Rangers. Yeah. I've met John Daniels. Just shook his hand the other day.
Wow.
That's the general manager of the Texas Rangers. I met Yoshinori Tatiyama, former Texas Ranger pitcher. Koji Uehara, former Texas Ranger pitcher, now pitches for the Boston Red Sox, won their World Series. I met Dat Nguyen, former Dallas Cowboy linebacker, who snubbed me when I asked for a picture. He's a Vietnamese football player, like the only one, and wouldn't take a picture with one of the members of a Vietnamese restaurant, one of the few ones in Arlington. Oh, yeah, and there's also a chick that looks like Hillary Clinton that comes here all the time to Sprouts. And that's awesome. So I wanted to ask you guys, who's the biggest celebrity you've ever met in person?
Oh, man. Golly. His name's escaping me right now for some reason. I've met him twice. Stone Sour and Slipknot. Corey Taylor.
You met Corey Taylor.
I've met Corey Taylor a couple of times. They're a Des Moines-based band, and I've run into him twice at People's Court downtown.
Oh, wow.
And speaking of that, ironically, I've met Joey Jordison here in Arlington.
Really?
Wow!
Yeah.
Oh, wow!
Back when I was working restaurants, too.
We got the drummer and the singer of Slipknot all tied down.
Violator, who have you met?
I met John Cooper of Skillet twice.
Nice!
Mr. E, have you met anyone famous in your entire life? Nobody! Not a one!
Not even Troy Aikman?
Not even Troy!
Autograph signing?
I have met guys in the coaching
realm. Corey Morrow.
I've met Corey Morrow, Pat Green.
You've met Pat Green?
Yeah.
That is definitely worth, oh my God. Pat Green? I love Pat Green.
Yeah.
Start naming your musicians that you've met, because I know you've met a bunch.
Even if you haven't met a bunch, the next spin on our positive spin. You know what? This is a sad spin. Because we're going to talk about a couple of people who died. First, I'm going to talk about Christopher Lee, though.
Oh, man.
And Christopher Lee, let's start with him. The man served in World War II. He was Dracula. He was Saruman. He was Count Dooku. He played Sherlock Holmes. And he even played Rasputin in movies. He is a legend. And all in all, even after all the characters he's played, he is probably one of the most well-known voices in all of Hollywood. That guy's deep growl and just everything that's about, man, Christopher Lee is an icon. Your favorite Christopher Lee role of the ones that we know?
Saruman. Hands down, Saruman.
That's the one. Agreed.
Agreed? Everyone Saruman? Yeah. Everybody?
Yeah, it was just so dark and good.
Yeah.
Dude, Dooku.
I gotta go there.
Dooku.
Yeah, but
I get Dooku too. But I mean, like when I think of Christopher Lee, I still think Lord of the Rings.
I get it. I love Dooku. I love Count Dooku. I think that the
cursed saber.
Yeah, the story behind Dooku would have been so great to expound upon as a former Jedi who turns to Sith. One of the first ones that we actually see in the whole continuity that isn't literally just a Sith or just a Jedi,
right,
is that tweener. And it's kind of like, what turned him? What did this? And they leave it so open. That's why I love that character. That's why I loved Christopher Lee on it. And then the last person I'm going to talk about is, man, it's someone close to my heart. And it actually goes a little bit into a wrestling minute.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
No, don't be sad about this one. The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Dusty Rhodes is a pop culture legend. He's one of the first wrestlers to cross over outside of wrestling just because of who he was. Kind of like we know Stone Cold Steve Austin and Ric Flair and The Undertaker, all of whom have become pop culture celebrities because of their personality, with only Stone Cold Steve Austin literally jumping from wrestling to acting. All these other guys that are big names that we know just because of wrestling, they are all taking after Dusty Rhodes. Dusty, at one point in time, was one of the three recognizable figures in wrestling. You had you had the Iron Sheik. Everyone knew who the Iron Sheik was. People know him now on Twitter because he's crazy. You knew Ric Flair, and you knew Dusty Rhodes. Everyone, whether it be his time in the NWA when he was the American Dream, son of a plumber who knew how to do with hard times and he had to lift and everything, or to his WWF days when he rocked polka dots and danced around, but he never felt like a gimmick. He was always a tough guy. Even when he was silly and people didn't really know what he kind of was. Was he a bad guy, good guy? It didn't matter. He was a tough guy. He wanted to be the everyman. And he allowed that. He was a fat man. He used to say, My belly may be a little big. My butt may be a little big, but I'm a bad man. And everyone else knows it. Yeah, Dusty Rhodes. And he leaves a legacy now that his sons, Dustin and Cody, aka Goldust and Stardust, will be.
Really?
Yes, that's his kids. And they will be driving that to the future so people know who Dusty is. Man, Dusty, he actually was trending on Twitter higher than anything else, and he died the same day Christopher Lee did.
Really? Even more than Christopher Lee.
Dusty Rhodes is huge. Go look up the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. This guy was a phenomenon. Everybody loved him because he was you. He was Jim. He was DWB. He was Violator. He was me. He was Mr. E. He was every man. He decided that this was going to be his gimmick. He wasn't going to be the strongest. He wasn't going to be the best looking, but he could literally pull in everybody in the audience to like him and enjoy him. And that's what made him now an even bigger celebrity than he was during his life. And that's my positive spin, guys.
Inspirational, man.
That is a good one. And, man, freaking Christopher Lee, though, that just blows my mind that a wrestler, you know, would make more of a social, like, impact, like you said, on Twitter than freaking Christopher Lee.
Wrestling was big. Like, I love wrestling, but wrestling is huge. And wrestling back in the 70s and 80s was gigantic. It was one of the things that people did. Like, it was on TBS. Like, it was a major national big deal when these people did anything. Like, it's become kind of a joke now because of how people know now that's fake. But at a time, these guys were real as day and night, you know what I mean? And he was one of the first to really be the realest of the real. What's really real is what we have next on The Boys, because we have the Musician's Corner, we have an Internet Find of the Week, and we have the answers to the question of the day. But first, we have announcements, DW!
Friday, June 26th, starting at 8 p.m. at the Magnolia Motor Lounge in Fort Worth, you can catch Vandarian and Bad Mountain bringing the Americana magic to the stage. Bad Mountain is always a great act to catch and very entertaining, as well as Vandarian. So again, that's Friday, June 26th, 8 p.m. at Magnolia Motor Lounge in Fort Worth. Be there or you'll become sterile. Up next, we've got Bad Mountain himself, Americana act out of Arlington. This is a song, Even on a Rainy Day.
Even on a rainy day like tonight, we can have some good old fun with the boys.
You're back.
Today, in my usual way, everything I knew is never gonna be the same. Will my dog head crow and my rooster bark? That's when I knew that the world had turned upside down. Cause I could lay to look, forget about the flat of my pickup truck. She came to tell the truth, that even on a rainy day there's work to do. Even on a rainy day there's work. Found out today.
everything I knew was never gonna be the same. But there's still shoes to fill, and there's bills to pay. Sometimes I feel like it's better if I just wear away, 'cause I can lay the luck, forget about the flat on my pickle truck. She came to tell the truth, that even on a rainy day there's work to do. Even on a rainy day there's work.
Is an official community public service announcement. If you're in need of some psychological help,
sir, one more outburst, I will strangle you with my microphone wire. You understand me?
Be sure to listen to The Boys.
And welcome back for one more time to the Zaboys Radio Show, now to Positive Seed, introduce the internet find of the week.
This is the part of the show where we, I think this is the most due diligence that all of us combined do together, because we scour the internet to find the funny, the wacky, the weird, the wonderful internet videos that will entertain you on facebook.com/theboysmedia when you go look them up. And am I going first, or who's going first today?
I think you're going first.
There, I am going first, and this rolls right out of my last spin, because we're going to talk about, we're going to listen to the American Dream Dusty Rhodes give one of his world famous promos. He's probably the best promo guy besides either Ric Flair or Randy Macho Man Savage when it comes to just spinning a tale off the top of his head.
All right,
ladies and gentlemen, the world television champion, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Dusty, welcome. But what about Jimmy Vail? What he tried it, they almost got him again.
This has got to stop somewhere. Let me tell you something, David Crockett. This is going to cease to exist. It's going to stop now. I don't play no game. And I don't take no prisoners. Vail's war is going to have a lot of help. And tell the black that you come out here and you talk about baby dying, pa driving that boy, putting that boy out of wrestling, talking about boy this and boy that. Well, David, you know my youngest, Till Margaret, 2.5 years old, and I tell her a story about the cold-blooded sausage maker that's walking through the woods, and these little pigs run around, and he grabs the little pigs, and he making cold-blooded sausage out of them. But always in that story, when she's scared, and her eyes are big as silver dollars, the American Dream comes and saves the little piggies. But in this case, I am the cold-blooded sausage maker.
Cold-blooded sausage.
Tully Blanchard. And you the little piggies. And you running around with one big pig.
What?
That's right. Now I hope my mama don't call David and get on for me talking this way. But she ain't no lady.
She ain't
no den. She's nothing more than something off the... I ain't even gonna talk about it.
You're gonna talk about
it. You're talking about now, you gotta deal with a dealer.
So, like, I got nothing to say.
That's fine. Because that's risky business. Risky business. I am the cool, bloody sausage maker.
I love me some American Dream. That's not even the best of
Are
Dusty
you
Rhodes.
Sure, he wasn't drunk while he did
that. Oh, no.
It was something.
There's a good chance he was drunk during this. You know what I mean? That's not a. Back in the day with wrestling, they didn't have drug testing or whatever. Yeah. You came to the ring. You came to the ring and you just took the prisoners and you talked on the microphone and you had everyone else feel what the American Dream is feeling right now. Yes, Dusty Rhodes.
What was funny about that, man? I feel like I've known people that just talk like that. You know, just
yes.
That, it's like, what are you even saying right now? You're using this abstract story to try to make your point. It's not connecting.
Not
man.
At all.
But okay, you know, you just go along with it.
Okay, but if that man came up to you and said that story right now, would you think that he was some bad business? Would you think that he's a bad man with Demma, or that he was a cold blooded salsa maker, or was he a crazy man?
His name would be the ladies' man.
Right?
He's everything. All right. My internet find is this little girl, man. Her dad took this this video of her, and she is, I don't know, she's snapping like a grown woman, man. This, all right, we're talking about like a 3.5, maybe 4-year-old girl. Go ahead and hit that.
Tell me nothing, Rihanna. What you tell me?
I told you 4 times to hurt me, and you was in that room.
What room? Wait, Brianna, wait, you told me that?
Yes, you was in this room.
No, I was not.
Yes, you was.
No.
You cut the light on or nothing you can't do.
I'm sorry. Ooh. You accept my apology?
No, sorry. Don't talk to me like that. Ain't no sorry.
Dang.
And I thought I was sassy.
Even though you can't do nothing what I say. If you hurt me, if you talk to me, you don't listen. So why I wasn't going in that room. You were standing in the living room.
So you want me to go in the living room right now?
Yes.
I'm sorry. No.
That's not fun.
It's not fun.
I'm sorry. You gonna beat?
That's why you don't.
I don't listen.
Why are you talking to me like that, then?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wow.
Stop screaming at me.
Wow. I'm not screaming at you.
Listen.
You are. Ain't nothing talking to me. I'm screaming at you anyway.
Okay. Bye, Brianna.
He's all thinking, I cannot wait till you're 17 and I show you this video.
I love you, Brianna.
I don't know if you want to love me. You don't know nobody.
Just
love
like
your own self.
You love your own self.
Come on, love you. I'm sorry. You don't tell nobody you're sorry.
Oh, wow.
Woo.
Oh.
There is no... That is complete... You know what? Nurture over nature... There's no way that is not a learned thing. You don't just come out of be that age and be that sassy like that. Mm. Her mom is exactly like that, I guarantee you.
Yeah, mom and dad fight in front of her, and she picked up all of that.
That's jarring.
That's incredible. Talk about you love me. You love your own self.
Now that young girl is a cold-blooded salty maker. She telling all the little piggies out there that she coming for you. Jim, the brain box.
Okay, so mine, to bring him up one more time, we got Chris Pratt.
Oh!
Giving acting lessons while drunk.
What's the count on Chris Pratt?
We are currently at 4 segments and now 8 times mentioned in the episode.
Wow. 8 mentions for Chris Pratt.
Yes.
Wow. Chris Pratt is trending on the board.
Yeah. I'm sure he's trending elsewhere as well.
Right? Oh, probably yes. So this is Chris Pratt giving acting lessons while drunk on Fireball whiskey.
I love Fireball.
I guess I know you do.
Just to give you guys a backstory, we're at the end of a GQ photo shoot, and we're supposed to do this acting DVD, acting video kind of bit for YouTube. The truth is, it's hot as hell, and I'm drunk. I took a lot of shots of Fireball whiskey. So I'm trying to improv at the top of my head, but the reality is I'm not sharp right now. I am dull. This is like performing brain surgery with the blunt end of a hammer. And speaking of hammer, Allison, can I get another one of those shots of Fireball? Why don't you just bring the bottle in here so we can show the crowd that I am, in fact, drinking Fireball whiskey.
Fireball whiskey,
yeah.
Oh, background music. We don't even
In your first it. Acting lesson, let's say you're at a Jamba Juice and you see a T-Rex.
I didn't even add this, guys.
How do you act? Easy. You say, "Oh shit, T-Rex." Do you see how I emoted? This lesson is brought to you by Fireball Whiskey. Fireball. Drink it out of a paper cup. Don't be a dick about it.
Don't be a dick about it.
Scenario number two. You're in the desert, and you see a snake. How do you react? You go like this. Oh, shit, some fucking snake. just make it about yourself and not about them. There's a fucking snake in the desert. With my DVD course, there'll be surprises.
Mine just pops open.
That will catch you off guard, just like I was caught off guard. Let's say you get pulled over and you have a bunch of weed in your glove box. Simple. You do this. Officer, I don't have weed in my glove box.
You fucking stop, citizen.
This acting lesson is brought to you by Two Bears Fucking. And your child asks you where babies came from. You simply tell them the truth. From your mom's butt. Hold on a second, I have to ignite the knife. Fireball whiskey. Ignite the knife.
Night to night. It's where those memes came from.
Let's say you forget about your spouse's birthday and they confront you about it.
Don't ever do that.
Simple. You just be honest. You say, "That is not your birthday. You were in an accident." You have to trust me. Now go back to bed. Your birthday's tomorrow. Act now, you get my acting DVD, which will teach you to make a video to then show them, which is proof that they were indeed this accident, that they were not. Let's say you were a country star performing at the Bluebirds in Nashville. How would you command a crowd? You just get them drunk first. Now, this has been Acting with Chris Pratt. I hope it helps. I'm guessing it won't. Just work out a lot and use sunscroen and roll the dice, man. And remember, if you're working on your plan B, you may as well make it your plan A.
Yes. Especially if it was a plan B pill, you might as well.
Yeah. That's a great lesson there in the end.
Oh, do you think, now, here's the question. Do you think he was really drunk?
You know, I really do, man. You see him actually finish off that bottle.
He's taking those shots on camera, yeah. So yes.
You think he's really drunk, Violator?
It's a 50-50. I mean, yeah, he's a good actor, but some of those lines... And some of the cuts that they made, yeah, he was probably drunk to get some of that.
I don't think he was drunk.
No?
I don't think he was drunk.
I think the bottle was half gone when he started.
I think Hollywood does such a good job at hiding stuff like that. Some of the slurring wasn't there. I don't think he was drunk. I think it was a really great bit, though.
Playing drunk is a hard thing to do, though, man.
Like, good
legitimately
drunk.
Playing drunk.
Because that wasn't the typical, "I'm drunk" slurring thing. That was the... I'm saying stupid shit because
I'm trying to be
drunk.
On spot, but yet I'm drunk, so it's I'm overdoing it, you know?
Still don't think he was drunk. But great internet find. Still don't think he was drunk.
Rock and roll.
He was drunk.
Violator.
All right, well, mine's not quite as funny as y'all's, but this is something that I am quite excited about because me, along with Brainbox Jim over there, are very big fans of the Final Fantasy franchise. Here we go. After this starts going, this was supposed to start a long time ago. There we go.
Long ago, we looked upon a foreboding sky. The memory of the star that threatened all burns eternal in our hearts. In its wake came an age of silence.
Yoshinori Kitachi.
Yet with each fond remembrance, we knew those encountered were not forgotten.
Creepy music.
I was gonna say that music right there.
Every time
we'd see them again. it was no more than wishful thinking.
You knew you were in trouble.
Oh, yes. But, you know, the massive amounts of blood and slaughter everywhere in the game.
Yeah.
But after the long calm,
there are now the beginnings
of a stir.
Pixelated blood, still blood.
The reunion at hand may bring joy. It may bring fear. But let us embrace whatever it brings.
This is from E3, by the way, since we mentioned it earlier.
Are coming back.
That right there.
At last, got me goosebumps. The promise has been made.
The remake of Final Fantasy VII. It's long been awaited.
It has.
On PlayStation 4. It has given me a reason to go buy a PlayStation 4.
Wait, this is just a remake of a game?
Yes.
But it's revamped.
It's a highly anticipated thing for years now.
You never played the first
one. Why are people really excited to play the game
replay
again?
Replay a game that very... That's what I'm saying. Unless they add content, I'm not, unless they add stuff.
But I get where he's coming from. They'll add stuff. Yeah. I mean, there's no way they won't add stuff. But they've got the addition of this new, you know, like a new kind of graphic system that everybody's got going, you know, with the PlayStation 4 and everything compared to the PlayStation 1, which I have the original game at home.
Yeah.
So you're going to take this game and revamp it for three generations. It's going to be cool. They're going to add stuff. They're going to have a whole lot more things going on. They're going to put it on one disc instead of three.
That'd be nice. You know, is it sad that entire video, I just was waiting for like the Star Wars theme to kick in and be like, you know, like just like every time he'd say a line, I was like, at some point that theme's going to kick in and be like, oh, okay.
Do not put Star Wars and Final Fantasy in the same
room. Well, no, he's like in a galaxy. He's like, we've been waiting a long time.
Okay.
And I was like,
such a fantasy cluster.
It is. That'd be way too much going on. And that's your internet find of the week, guys. If you want to see the videos that we shared with you right now, go to facebook.com/theboysmedia, and we'll have all those posted either today or tomorrow or some other time. I don't know when you're listening to us right now, but comparative to today, that's when it'll be put on there. Think about that in your brain. What else you'll have to think about in your brain is whether or not you want to be a musician or not, and whether or not you want to listen to our next segment, because it's about musicians. It's about what we do, what other people want to do. It's the Musician's Corner.
Best corner in the house.
It is best corner in the house. There's a drum set in a corner, too. I think that's where I'll sit when I talk about my Musician's Corner. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da. We're talking about songs being memorable. It's not rocket science, guys, but bands seem to really find it difficult to make memorable songs. If I go to a show and I hear your group and I can't tell what song I like or which song is which because they all sound the same, then it defeats the purpose of even being a good musician. All the chops in the world, it doesn't matter if your set list sounds like a CD stuck on repeat. You know what I mean? I don't care how good you can play. Every song sounds the same. Doesn't really matter. Mix it up. Change tempos. Change structure. Change song length, for God's sakes. Make every song stand out in its own way. If you're already crafting songs as a band or as an individual, then it should be as big of a part of discussion when you make the songs as what note to start on. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, make things different. Someone needs to be the guy, if you're in a band, who tries to break up the monotony, who brings up suggestions, hey, let's do this, that may benefit the song. Do not be scared if you are that individual to have your ideas shot down or things change, because it might be just a seed that gets planted in another member of the band and it creates something different. You know, there is a difference between catchy and memorable. This is how we'll end it. Catchy riffs can get stuck in your head, and so can catchy lines, but a memorable song can leave the people listening to it able to perform that entire thing. Lyrics, guitar parts, even the damn kick drum beats can be remembered and redone over and over again. That's what makes the song memorable. Bands work on that.
Yeah, there's a million songs that have really catchy riffs, or just a really good hook in the chorus or whatever, and that's really what radio music's been built around lately. And golly, man, 5 years from now, will we remember Blurred Lines?
No.
Will we remember some of these bro country songs?
No.
You know, that are built around, you know, just like something real catchy? No. Are they good for your set? These real catchy songs? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. But who's dropping, you know, your Hotel Californias anymore? Who's dropping, you know, all these songs that we go back and think of and are like, man, that's iconic.
A song when you can even, like, you know the solo of the song and you can mouth solo it without even a mess up on the notes because everything is so memorable about the song. It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, no. So we're at a time now where, like you were saying, like, people don't play your Hotel California. And the bands that do are their older bands. You know, they're right. Those guys that are 40 and in their 50s and they're, you know, and they're playing what was good, great to them. And yeah. Now we've got people who are, like you said, they're coming in, they're picking up these pop hits of the current times, and they're having to learn songs constantly, turn them over, because they know that they're not going to last more than a year.
Right. And you know what? You're talking about the band and their set sounding the same. Man, there's tons. I personally have a hard time just writing a bunch of songs in the same vein. Yeah. That was a big thing. Like back with my old band, a lot of people would be like, "Man, you guys do a lot of different type of stuff." I'm like, "Good." Like that's because we all like a bunch of different things. So it's hard not to write, you know, just everything that you like. And I think people enjoy that whenever you're diverse.
Yes.
In what you do.
Yes.
Personally.
Who is next?
Go ahead there, Jim.
Okay. You know, just to really get you guys really going crazy, you know, I'm not sure if you know this, Chris Pratt. I'm kidding. I had to throw one more in there. No, seriously, though, my musician's corner for the day is this. Is starting a children's band, say like the Wiggles,
okay,
an easy stepping stone into professional music?
Oh, wow.
Have you ever thought about it?
Yes.
No.
I have a theory on the Wiggles, though, which kind of goes against that. I thought the Wiggles might have been a failed Australian rock and roll band that were like, well, Mike, we can't really do anything else. What do we got? Well, we got this kids party over on the bay. All right, we'll go. And they just went ahead and were like, man, they really dig it. That's what I thought. But that kind of makes sense, too, starting out as the kids band to get yourself into it.
I'm saying, like, you've got an easier critic there. You know, you gotta sing ABCs, Farm Animals, Colors, and these kids will be like, yeah, this is rock, this is awesome. And as long as you're animated and colorful. So, I mean, and the thing about it, you know, you can show your musical talent in that scenario, and then all of a sudden people are like, hey, you're that guy from the Wiggles, right? What else can you do? And he's just like, oh, yeah, listen to me play Stairway to Heaven for the next 15 minutes.
You're the guy from the Wiggles. What else do you do? If you're getting that phrase said to you, you might want to have a new career. Hey, you're the guy from the Wiggles. Well, what else do you do?
All right.
Well, thank you, so, Jim.
That was nice. So let's say your musical career didn't dive into becoming a children's band, a la the Wiggles, and you've been doing really well for yourself or your band or you're an artist, and you've been going at it for a couple, like, you know, a while. You got a really great fan base, and you start to get approached by labels. Let's talk about labels for a second, okay?
Yeah, okay.
What's the difference, you know, between like signing with like a major or an indie label, which is better for you? To better understand the difference, like, let's just look at like the differences between the two. With major labels, you might have the impression that there are many major labels to choose from, but the truth is there's really only four major labels: Sony, Universal Music Group, EMI, and Warner Music Group. All those other so-called major labels are actually sub-labels under one of the four major labels. So, for example, Columbia, Arista, Epic, Provident, RCA, and they're all subsidiary labels under Sony.
Right.
It's like the big money-making musical family tree, all beginning with the four major labels, branching out from there.
Yeah.
So the pros for like a major label is like, man, show me the money. At the end of the day, the biggest pro of a major label is their budget.
Of course.
It's their large budget that supplies almost every pro that major label can offer, such as like high quality recordings, production, major distribution, music videos, pro photography, pro advertising, pro everything, tours, merchandise, so on. I think you get the idea. Simply put, major labels have budgets that allow them access to every top notch, like professional in every imaginable field needed for music career success. They have the resources. The cons of a major label, however, sign here, wait, what? No, no, your rights, okay? What rights? When you sign onto a major label, they own you as an artist for the duration of the contract. Oh, yeah. They will have complete creative control over your music and your image. They will tell you where and when to be somewhere, and if you want to make this work, you'll be there. Furthermore, like, they'll own your music forever. They will own your music forever, or until you or someone else buys the ownership rights to your songs, because you signed it away when you signed with them. Make money. Wait a second. Did you think I meant making money for yourself?
Oh, no.
A major label did not invest all that time and money into you because they're simply being, like, generous or they're big fans of your work. They did so because they believe that you could get a bigger return on their investment. So what does that mean for you? It means that you are in debt to the label. They have invested a lot of money into you, therefore they expect results. So you better be ready to work very hard to pay them back. It's a lot up front and then a lot of you working your ass off for them. And then you're a small fish in a big pond. Like, you're one out of many artist bands on the label's roster. So if you're not showing success almost immediately, then the major label is more likely to lose interest in you real fast. That means no one from the label is returning your calls, your album's not getting the promotional support it deserves, your musical ship just starts to sink fast.
You get buried, to use a professional wrestling term. They bury you.
Yeah. You know, if you're doing well, then you'll get a response from the label. But simply put, if the relationship is quite fickle with a major label. With indie labels, like, the term indie label can almost be a bit, like, misleading these days due to the fact that some large, quote-unquote, indie labels are actually distributed by major labels.
Yeah.
But a true indie label means they are independent from a major label. There's a lot of indie labels, all varying in methods and genres, experiences, therefore. But some of the pros of an indie label are, can I have your autograph? Maybe they don't want your autograph, but the indie labels are usually genuine, honest fans of the bands and artists that they sign. Like, they love you, and so they sign you. So they truly enjoy your music on a personal level. Therefore, they have more, like, personal passion and drive in promoting your music. They believe in you and your message. You're a big fish in a small pond, not vice versa. Indie labels usually have smaller rosters of bands and artists. That works great for you, because you get a lot more attention and you're more important to the label, and it's a lot more communication access. The signing on the dotted line, the types of indie label contracts, they vary greatly. Some contracts resemble major label contracts, but on a smaller scale. Some are simply just for distribution and promotion deals. One advantage for bands and artists is that indie label contracts usually give the artist most of the creative control concerning their music. So the whole selling out aspect isn't as big of a deal. Like, a lot of people, man, I love this band, I love this, but then they sold out.
Yeah.
That's a major label type thing. So you get that less with an indie type thing. So the cons of an indie label, small pond equals small water. Yeah, excuse me, small pond equals small wallet. Like, if the saying is true, money makes the world go around, then indie labels make the world go around slower. You know, so while the smaller size of an indie label can be a pro, it can also be a con. You know, getting spending money up front, you know, you're not going to get that. You're not going to get recording in million-dollar studios or working with world-renowned producers and stuff like the majors. Simply put, unless you can pay for it yourself, chances are very unlikely you'll be going on any expensive world tours. So that's kind of the difference in your major labels and your indie labels. And let's all dream for a second.
Okay, I can dream.
Let's all dream for a second.
And
assume you've been very successful at what you do, and you get approached by a major and an indie. Which one would you choose, and why?
I will be taking the independent label at first. The creative control is the biggest part of it, and it's been proven that you can be successful on a smaller label. It's not demanded of you to be successful in the music industry to be part of a big label. In fact, sometimes being a part of a big label puts you at a disadvantage, because, like you said, you're in a big pool of talent now. So now you're having to prove yourself not only against the other people that you're trying to sell records against, but about what with people in your own freaking record label.
Yeah.
To fight for publicity and to fight for push and to fight fight for promotion. No, I want to be in a small label where I'm not in super competition with everybody. Most likely, I'm working together with everybody to push the label and to push the type of music that's going on. That's what I want to be a part of more than be a part of just a conglomerate machine that's really just forking out music after music after music. It doesn't mean anything.
Right on, Jim. How about you? You know, you've practiced bass. You're in the band Bring Box Heroes, and the labels come up to you. What would you think you do?
I'm going with Chris. Yeah, I think indie's the way to go, man. It gives you a little bit more freedom, a lot more creative freedom, a lot more control of what you want to do. And like you said, yeah, you're never gonna be rich, I shouldn't say rich, but you're not gonna be the next Kiss. You know, you're selling merchandise everywhere. But at the same time, yeah, it gives you more of a chance to show your talent and potentially grow to be something bigger. I mean, if you're the best of on an indie label, people are gonna know that. If you're the worst on a major label, well, people are gonna hear that too. But at the same time, they're not gonna care about you. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I'd go with an indie label as well, along with with Jim and Chris, because you're guaranteed a bit more. It may be more local of places you're put. But whenever you're put with a major label, if you sign with a major label, unless you're a big band, you're not going to get the same amount of time. Like, you're not going to get paid attention to near as much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're on Warner, you're not going to get anywhere near the amount of time as the Chili Peppers.
Right.
Oh, of course.
Like, nobody's going to give two S's about you being on Warner because the Chili Peppers are on there.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? So at least go with the indie artist or the indie label that's gonna push you and promote you, versus the one that's like, okay, you got a $10,000 budget per year.
Yeah.
Not
there
bad.
You go. Yeah. Yeah, John.
I definitely think that you go with the indie label. I just want to do what I want to do.
Right.
Yeah.
And I want somebody to support me for being me. I don't want to push out crap that the pop world wants me to push out. I don't want to be that kid. I don't want to be that guy. I want somebody to support me for being me.
Amen, there you go, brother. Man.
Amen. All right.
Rock and roll.
That is Violator. Did you hear, sir?
I just did it.
No. He bowed out. There we go.
Okay, well, thank you.
I did it terribly, but...
You did it terribly.
No, well, you're good.
Well, thank you very much, guys. This has been a great episode of The Boys. Oh, wait, it's not over yet, because we have to give you What Did You Learn? And, honestly, what I learned today, guys, is that Chris Pratt is probably the most phenomenal? Yes, abominable...
Abominable.
You know what? He's got the best abdominables. He's an abominable name, and he has dominated the boys today. That's what I learned.
Man, what'd you learn there, Jim?
I learned that if you propose a very vague, open question, you get a lot of really out there answers, and also that apparently we can throw Chris Pratt into 6 segments, and we can also mention him now, what is 11 times.
11 times for Chris Pratt.
Up 12.
You're right.
Well,
I learned that Johnny Walker Double Black will kick your ass.
Yes, it will, sir.
Yes.
I learned that Dusty Rhodes is crazy and cool. Was crazy and cool. And also learned there's 12 different types of freaking birth control. Wrap it up. Do whatever you gotta do, people.
I bet there's more than 12.
Do it.
And we learned
just
that we love you here on The Boys. Thank you for tuning in to us. We are The Boys. You can find us at TheBoysMedia.com. You can find us at Facebook.com/TheBoysMedia. Follow us on Twitter at Radio The Boys. DWB is at DWB88. Jim is at Jim's Brain Box. Violator is at TheBoys_Violator. And I, Positive C, am at The Positive C. Join us, talk to us, respond to us. Oh, yeah, and if you guys like blogs, go to theboysradio.blogspot.com and read what we have for you next time on The Boys. I think you know what, guys? This is pretty early in the week to say this, but I think we need to have a The Boys skit. I'm going to throw it out there right now.
Boom.
I think we need to go ahead and develop a skit for next week to give to the people, the community.
Roman Gods?
Yo, you read my mind and tore that right out of there. What DWB will tear right out of your asshole everything and anything that's going out and on into DFW. DW, what you got?
Here's an asshole tear. This Saturday, June 20th, from 5 to 10 p.m. Saturday, June 20th, from 5 to 10 p.m., make your way to the free family event.
It got stuck in that asshole, didn't it?
Yeah, at Valley Ridge Park in Cedar Hill called Juneteenth Arts and Music Festival.
That's celebrating not a real holiday. Hold on. Juneteenth is not a real holiday.
Juneteenth,
speaking for all black people.
Arts and Music Festival celebrating freedom through diversity, honoring the oldest known celebration of the ending of slavery.
Whatever.
Activities include food vendors, a variety of art by local artists, crafts in the Kids on the Hill Creative Arts Zone, musical performances, and much more. Musical entertainment will be provided by the Daz Band, Grammy Award winning American music funk band, and Memphis Soul from Dallas. So again, the event is this Saturday, June 20th from 5 to 10 p.m. at Valley Ridge Park in Cedar Hill for Juneteenth Arts and Music Festival. Up next, well, to end it, we've got an artist out of Weatherford, Texas. Her name is Van Darien. She's an Americana artist. This is her song called Kaleidoscope.
Jean-Claude Van Darien?
Jean-Claude Van Darien.
Oh, she's such an attractive young lady.
She is.
She's got kickboxing skills, too.
Yeah, and she could do the thing where one foot on this semi, one foot on the other, and spread it like that. You know?
Hey, now, that sounds like a Chris Pratt porno. That's 12!
That's 13, sir.
Oh, 13.
You want nothing to do with me, babe. I think I know the reasons why. You cut your teeth on the rack in a row with your diamond dollar sign eyes. This ain't moving fast enough. Charcoal skin. Your little world is always sunny. Ain't it funny? I'm a hero to your heroine. And here it comes again.